Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langvedeyam sakhi bandhanam mande shikrutavanam Om jnana tirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumiri janyana tasmai shikrutavanam. So before we start our discussion of Queen Kunti's prayers, I want to explain to you what our approach will be in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, because we are going to be studying Srimad Bhagavatam for the next 5 classes, and specifically Queen Kunti. But this study method will be for any time you want to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So the key to this method is coming from one verse of Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, verse 18. When I asked His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami, before I started teaching Bhakti Vaibhava, I asked him, how should we approach Srimad Bhagavatam? So he gave us this verse from 12th Canto. And in this verse, there is a key for how to study Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 steps. So I'll sing the verse for you. It's quite a long one, but that's all right. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahansyamekamamalam Gyanam Param Giyate Tatya Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkamyamaviskitam Tachinvansupatan vicharanapara papya vimuchyena. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, most dear to the Vaishnavas, because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahansas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. So in the last verse, it is explained how to study Srimad Bhagavatam. The first step is shinvan, hearing. First you have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srila Prabhupada explained in one of the lectures on Queen Kunti prayers. He said, our movement is meant for training spiritual leaders. But without hearing and chanting, it's impossible to be a leader. Of course, in the material world it's possible, but not in the spiritual world. So hearing and chanting, if you can't hear and chant, then you're a leader. So shinvan, that is the first thing. And the second one is supatan. Supatan has 2 meanings. It can mean chanting, to chant. In India, when they teach you your alphabet, when they teach you anything, you have to say it very loudly, out loud. So supatan can also mean to chant. It can also mean to study something. So we'll be hearing and we'll be chanting the verses before we discuss them. We'll be hearing and chanting. Supatan, studying nicely, means we'll be discussing the verses. So the first step is hearing, the second step is chanting, studying, and the third step is the most important, vicharana paro. That means meditating on the verse during the day. How to apply it to your life. So I'll be giving you homework, not to write, but to apply to your life. Every day I'll give you 2 questions, you can choose one of them. And I want you to try applying it to your life between this class and the next class tomorrow. I want you to ask yourself this question during your day and then report back tomorrow night what you found. So all of these have to be done with bhaktiya, with devotion. Hearing with devotion, chanting with devotion, studying and applying everything with devotion. In other words, we must be seeing Krishna in every step of our lives. So Srila Prabhupada also said, if you say one chapter, or you chant one chapter of Bhagavatam every day, you will become a scholar if you do this for 1 year. So I used to do that. And look what happened to me. I started teaching Bhagavatam. I wouldn't even chant the whole chapter. I would just take some prayers from a chapter and say prayers like that. But I would do it every day. And so it really works. It really works. So now let's hear a little bit about Kunti. We'll have 5 classes. The first class today will concentrate on how to see Krishna and how Kunti was seeing Krishna in her life and glorifying Krishna. And tomorrow's class will be about protection and dependence. As Srila Prabhupada said in the purport of the 17th verse before these prayers, that Kunti was a chaste devotee. And she was always looking to Krishna, nobody else, for protection from danger. So they knew nothing except Krishna, the Pandavas. So Krishna was always ready to come and help them. So Krishna reciprocates dependence of the devotee. So we'll hear about that, how the chaste devotee is very dependent on Krishna only, on the tomorrow's class. And Saturday morning, 10:30, it will be a mercy class for those of you who need mercy. How to get the mercy? Who is qualified to get the mercy? Oh, you're qualified. Okay. You raise your hands too soon. Yeah, so Saturday morning's class will be about mercy. And who gets the mercy? And how to get the mercy. And next Wednesday, we have to skip a few days. For some reason, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, there's things going on, I think. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vai Bhav, so many things. So in between, you just relax, enjoy. But no, I will give you homework in between. And that will be the mercy homework. So that's the really good homework. And then next Wednesday, we'll be discussing how to please Krishna. And that will be our homework. And the last class will be about renunciation. What is healthy renunciation? What is unhealthy renunciation? And what is how we can become attracted to Krishna? So Kunti, she's the original single mother. In Kali Yuga, we find so many. I was a single mother. So many mothers are single mothers. But Kunti was the original one. Her husband died, and she had 5 children to take care of. But so many problems. Their children, they were trying to be killed. Imagine if you were a single mother and you had 5 kids and somebody was trying to kill your children all the time. So that was the position of Kunti, that she had unlimited problems within her life. But she always depended on Krishna to help. So these prayers, Kunti, she's feeling separation from Krishna, even though Krishna hasn't left yet. He's ready to leave. And her whole purpose of her prayers is to convince Krishna to stay and not leave. And so this is what we're going to hear about. Now, one thing it says in one of the purports is that Kunti is an incarnation of the success potency of the Lord. Imagine that. So when we think of success in this world, what words come to your mind? What do people think is success in this material world? Money? Yes? Bank account? Luxury? What? Good health. Kali Yuga, that's a luxury, actually. In previous ages, health was not a problem, but now this is success. If you can be healthy in Kali Yuga, this is success. Yes, fame. So many things. The latest, of course, computer is not anymore success. This is a necessity. This is not a luxury anymore. This is... One time I was giving a class and I asked the preachers, what does the preacher need the most? And they said, computer. That's what the preacher needs the most. And these were all Bhakti Vedanta students who I asked. And they all had their computers on their desk. And they cannot live without the computer. Yes, so here we are. Yes. The computer, Sri Computer has made its appearance in our class. Okay, so when I ask you the question, you have to not look at your computer. Yeah, so success. But it seems like in Kunti's life there was not so much success most of her life. They were living in the forest, her sons were banished, they lost the kingdom, Draupadi was insulted. And so how is it that devotees suffer like this, pure devotees like Kunti? Bhishma Dev was crying to think about it on his deathbed, how the Pandavas suffered. Prabhupada explains why. He gives an analogy. And one purport, he says, a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. So similarly, Krishna teaches the world by teaching the devotee. So the world is the daughter-in-law, and the daughter of Krishna is the devotee. So he has to show through his devotee. So he used Kunti as an example and her sons, how you can live in this world, how to accept everything as Krishna's mercy, even if problems come. So now I'm going to pass out these papers. These are the verses. We'll be singing every day the verses that we're going to study. So today we're going to sing 18 through 22. So everybody can have a copy and share. And I'll ask you to give these back at the end of class because we'll use them again tomorrow. We'll use them every day. And on the last day, you can take them home. So this is the, we will be singing, I will sing one line, and then you repeat after me, that line, every line. I think, yeah, try to do it quickly. Yes.
There is a car in the number XWS 2 or 4, the headlights are on.
Okay.
XWS
214. Must be people in the temple. Okay, does everybody have a copy to share or to see by yourself? Everybody, raise your hand if you don't have a copy. Okay, way in the back there. Somebody needs a copy, so if you have an extra one, please pass it to the back there. There you go. Okay. Anybody else needs a copy? One more person in the back needs a copy. So if you have an extra one, in the front here, you've got so many. Somebody can pass. Can you pass that all the way back? Okay, it's okay. I think he got it. Now raise your hand if you don't have a copy. Okay, in the front. Okay. Yeah, you can share. Good. Okay, so I'll start from verse 18. Namashe Purusham Twadyam. Sing. Namashe Purusham Twadyam Isharam Rakite Param.
Isharam Rakite Param.
Alashyam Sarabhutanam.
Alashyam Sarabhutanam.
Antar Bahir Avastitam.
Antar Bahir Avastitam.
Maya Javanika Chanam.
Maya Javanika Chanam.
Adhyadhok Sajama Vyayam.
Adhyadhok Sajama Vyayam.
Nalakshase Mutarisha.
Nalakshase Mutarisha.
Nata Natya Tarayata.
Natya Tarayata.
Tata Paramahansanam.
Tata Paramahansanam.
Muninam Amalatmanam.
Muninam Amalatmanam.
Bhakti Yoga Vitaratam.
Bhakti Yoga Vitaratam.
Katam Pashe Mahishya.
Katam Pashe Mahishya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Nandagopa Kumaraya.
Nandagopa Kumaraya.
Govindaya Namo Namah.
Govindaya.
Parangarjanavaya. Nama Pankajamalini. Nama Pankajanetraya. Namaste Pankajankare.
Namaste Pankajankare.
Thank you very much. So now we'll start with verse 18. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. So Kunti sees Krishna in three ways. She sees him as all-pervading, and she sees him as Paramatma inside. And she also sees him everywhere, even right before her, standing outside before her. So her first realization is as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaste Purusham Tvadyam. Lord Brahma, he said, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this is the same realization that Kunti has. But Kunti is actually in a better position than Brahma, because not only did she realize Krishna's position like Lord Brahma, but he was standing right in front of her and he was part of her family. So Lord Brahma has a very official relationship with Krishna. But Kunti, she was just like his auntie. She had a very wonderful relationship. The Acharyas say that in one sense this verse refers to Mahavishnu, because Purusham Arya means the first Purusha. So who is the first Purusha? There's three Purushas. The first one is Mahavishnu. So Kunti, she sees Krishna like the Supreme Personality of God, and even though he's her nephew. So this is very strange. How can somebody be your nephew and at the same time be God? Yashoda, she could not see it like that. She couldn't see the two at the same time. If you tell her, you know, Krishna's God, she'll say, oh, you don't know. You don't understand. Krishna, he's just a small boy. In Braj, if we tell some of the Brajvasis, you know, Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill, they said, he's just a small boy. How can he lift that hill? He can't do it. They won't believe you. Even though all the proof is there, the deity is there, still they can't believe that Krishna can do such a thing. So we will be seeing Krishna through the eyes of Kunti, but on Saturday morning we'll also see from the eyes of Yashoda, Krishna. So Prabhupada said in one purport that Queen Kunti is puzzled that she's seeing Krishna is in front of her, yet he entered in the womb of Uttara to save Parikshit. So she's puzzled whether Krishna is all-pervading or is he localized. How can he be two places in once? She couldn't understand that. So today this impersonalist philosophy is there. Many people think God, if he is everywhere, how can he be one person? How can he be a person? So one of my god sisters, Jadarani, when she was first coming to see Srila Prabhupada, she thought she was all-pervading. Like that was her understanding of her self-realization, that she was all-pervading. So when Prabhupada asked her, where do you live? She said, very near. Where do you stay? Very near. And then he said, oh good, then you can come at 6 in the morning for our class. And then she realized she didn't live as near as she thought she did. She had to go at least 2 hours on the subway to Prabhupada's class. So this impersonalist philosophy doesn't work, really. It doesn't work. We are not all-pervading. Krishna is all-pervading. He can do that. He can be everywhere and also be a person. But we can only be one place at one time. So in India, the impersonalists, they pray, Tameva Mata, Tameva Pita. It's a very popular prayer. You are my mother, you are my father. But if you ask them, who is your mother and who is your father, they can't say. And that's very strange. You don't know who your mother and your father is. And so, but we tell them, it's Krishna. It's Krishna. You don't know who you're praying to, but we can tell you it's Krishna. Here he is. So the same thing in the West. The Srila Prabhupada one time, actually, no, up here. No, it was in L.A. He was sitting with many religious leaders. And he was asking them, who is God? And they could not answer, actually, who is God. And he said, oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you who is God. It's Krishna. So I'm telling you. You don't know. I'm telling you. So why don't you accept Krishna as God? So that's how Prabhupada was. He was just very strongly preaching. So Kunti is going to tell us a little later who is this all-pervading person. Right now she's just offering prayers. Of course we know if he's Krishna. It's standing right in front of her. So obviously it's Krishna. So three ways to see Krishna: without, within, and as a person. When you go and see in the temple, you can see him as a person. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Uddhava Gita, it starts with teachings from 24 gurus, which are different elements of this world and different people. And in that, we learn not to see the world as sense objects, but as gurus. Everything in the world is like a guru for us. So, in one of the purports, it says, one should not mechanically receive the teachings of one's guru. This is 11.9.31 purport. The disciple should be thoughtful and with his own intelligence realize and practice what he has heard from his spiritual master by observing the world around him. Your first homework at your life tomorrow. And I want you to see how is Krishna there. Now many people, they think Krishna is only when we are, there is no Krishna there. So I want you to see Krishna in your family, in your work. I want you to see him when you're going to work. I want you to see him. Just look tomorrow for Krishna in your life. Just look, how is he there? It might be a different way from how you usually see Krishna. It can also be in your japa. It can also be in your temple service. And I want you to see Krishna. Now, who can give me an idea of some way you can see Krishna in your life? Does anybody have any ideas here? So somebody can get an idea what to do. Yes?
See Krishna in nature.
In nature, very good. See Krishna in nature. Do we have nature here in Melbourne? The ocean is right here, actually, yes. You're very close to the ocean. And there's the sky, there's the clouds, there's the sun, and there's the rain, if it rains. Okay, you can see Krishna in nature. How else can you see Krishna in your life?
In others.
In others, good. In others. Perhaps as Paramatma, or as speaking through others to us, telling us something we need to know. There was one book distributor who was out distributing books, and she was really trying hard, and the person was just not taking the book. And finally, at the end, he said, "You're too attached to the results." So Krishna was speaking through that person to her. Yeah, why would somebody say that? You know, you're too attached to the results. So yes, look in your life for that voice of Krishna through others. Sometimes it can come anywhere. When Prabhupada was talking to one devotee, his name I can't remember now. Anyway, he was a sannyasi, and he was very attached to Prabhupada, and he said, "Shri Prabhupada, what will I do when you leave?" Prabhupada said, "You just listen for me. Listen, it can be anyone, but just listen for me." And that sannyasi left the movement, but at the end of his life, his mother had a dream of Prabhupada. And she told her son, "Prabhupada wants you to go back. Prabhupada came and he told me he wants you back." So it came through his mother, who was not a devotee, the voice of Prabhupada. So I want you to be searching tomorrow for that voice or for some way to see Krishna. This is how we apply the philosophy. We don't just hear the words, "Krishna is everywhere." Okay, he's everywhere. So where is he? How do you see him everywhere? How do you see him as Paramatma? How do you see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your life? That way you won't forget what the class is about, because you have to apply it. You have to apply it. That's your first question. In the next verse, we'll tell you your second question. Does anybody else have some ideas how to see Krishna? So within is Paramatma, through other people, through nature. And of course, through your service, through your chanting.
Spiritual master,
very good. Today we had Vyas Puja of Jagatak Maharaj. Yes?
You put the example of given by Jagatak Mataji.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you drink water.
Yeah?
Can...
Oh, that reminds me. I'm thirsty. Okay, see? Krishna spoke. Okay. So, right, when you drink water, Bhagavad Gita gives you so many ideas. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. When you see the moon, when you see the sun, you can think of Krishna. Maya janika chum agyarok sutamavyayam nalakshase maharsha atanatya taroyaha. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor, covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor, just as a player, is not recognized. So here, Kunti is saying, you are irreproachable. So some people cannot approach Krishna. Who are these people who cannot approach Krishna? Non-devotees? Atheists? Trying to see with the senses? Faithless? Yeah. Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis? So many. Impersonalists? They cannot see. Who can see? The devotees. So here, there are three reasons why we cannot see Krishna given in this verse. The first one is that our vision is covered by a curtain of Maya. Our eyes are covered, so we cannot see. The second reason is Krishna is beyond this dimension. He's in the fourth dimension. He's way beyond our power of our senses. The third reason is we have the vision of fools or mudhas. So we have the vision of fools, Krishna is beyond, and our eyes are covered by Maya. So here Krishna is compared to an actor on the stage. Prabhupada gives the example that if there is a drama, and the mother and the son are sitting watching the drama, and the father is on the stage, but the son doesn't recognize his father. And his mother's pointing out, look, there's your father. No, that's not my father. He doesn't behave like that. No, that's your father. Disguised. So in the same way, we cannot see Krishna. And our Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas are pointing, look, there's Krishna. Can you see him? No, Krishna, I can't see. No. So he's pointing out. He's pointing out to us. The spiritual master, the Shastra, is pointing out Krishna. But we cannot see. We are covered with this Maya. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. Therefore, I cannot see Krishna. And he's at Akshaja, he's way beyond. He's at Akshaja, the Sanskrit means Akshaja Adaha. Akshaja means your eyes, and Adaha means put down. So our eyes, our sense perception of our eyes is put down by Krishna. It's just like when the sun rises in the morning, then you can see the sun. But at nighttime, after the sun has set, and you want to see the sun, what can you do? Can you say, okay, I want to see the sun. Sunrise. Rise for me. No. So Krishna is like that. He's the sun. We cannot say, okay, I want to see Krishna. Come before me dancing. No. When the sun rises in our heart by chanting the holy name, then we can see. So first of all, curtain of Maya. Second of all, Krishna is beyond. And third of all, the vision of mudhas. So, mudha drisha. Who is a mudha? Can somebody tell me? This is a very favorite word of Srila Prabhupada. What does mudha mean? Fool? Rascal? If you go to folio, Prabhupada used the word rascal 3,400 times. And mudha 1,000 times, over 1,000. And when we were in Juhu, Bombay, he used to walk on the beach with Dr. Patel. And he would often call Dr. Patel a mudha. Dr. Patel would always protest, no, why are you calling me fool? And Prabhupada says, I'm not saying, Krishna is saying, Bhagavad Gita. He says, anyone who doesn't surrender to me is mudha, fool. And so he would always protest. And there was, Prabhupada was giving a lecture at, anyway, I don't remember where, but Tosan Krishna was there in this lecture. And there was one man, he came dressed up in a long robe full of moons and stars, and he has long hair, carefully combed, and you know who he thought he was, God. So he was sitting erect watching Prabhupada, glaring at Prabhupada the whole lecture. And then at the end, he raised his hand. What about Buddha? Prabhupada says, what about Buddha? And then the guy says, can you see God? Prabhupada said, no, because you're in the way. So our false ego gets in the way of seeing Krishna. That's why we can't see Krishna, because there's somebody in the way of our seeing. So Prabhupada was teaching that person that you think you're so great, and that's why I can't see, because you're in the way of everyone seeing God now. You're putting yourself in the way. Like somebody gets in front of the camera, you know, you're trying to take a picture and then someone goes in front. So you're trying to see Krishna, but then someone comes in front. But most often it's our own false ego that gets in the way of seeing Krishna. So how can we understand Krishna? So many problems. Maya, this curtain of Maya, if we try to escape from this material world, it's like trying to escape from prison. If you try to escape from prison, all the sirens go off. And the guards come and run to catch you. So we try to escape from this material world, then Maya puts up a fight with us. And the worst Maya is right in our own mind. So unless we become very serious to understand Krishna, very, very difficult. So here is your second homework question for the day. The first one, for those of you who came late, is try to see Krishna in your life. And the second one, if you cannot see Krishna in your life, what's stopping you from seeing Krishna in your life? Who can give me some ideas about that? Besides false ego, of course. Our own desires, yes? Ego, yeah, yes?
Relations.
Yes, in the very back.
The mercantile industry.
Yes.
Wanting to enjoy his energy
ourselves. Yes, these things can stop us. I also had some interesting idea. Just like when you're trying to chant japa, when you chant inattentively, there's three ways of inattentive japa. Yeah, can anybody tell me one of those ways? There's three things. Laziness, right. So we may not see Krishna in our life just because we're lazy. Yeah, it's too much trouble. Too much trouble to see Krishna in our life. You know, it's much easier to do something else than to see Krishna. See myself. I mean, that's the main thing. Okay, so laziness and... distraction. Now, this is a big one. During our day, it's very easy to get distracted. And so then we forget Krishna. So distraction is another thing that might keep us from seeing Krishna. And the third, laziness, distraction, and indifference. Yeah, material desires are always there. And that's another category altogether. But yeah, for inattentive chanting, indifference, distraction, and laziness. So these are the things that prevent us, besides the curtain of Maya, besides Krishna's way beyond, and besides we're mudhas, we have the vision of mudhas. What is the vision of mudha? What is the vision of a fool? Who can tell me? Yes?
Everything is for your enjoyment.
Okay. That's one, yes.
If I can't see it, it doesn't exist.
If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. Yeah, there was one policeman who was had that philosophy, and when he caught one of our devotees, and so the devotees started talking philosophy with him, and he defeated him. He told the policeman, "So if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. What happens if you're following a thief and he runs around the corner and you don't see him?"
So then he ceases to exist. So the police won't let him go. You feel it. So yeah, that's another reason. If I can't see Krishna, he doesn't exist. If you can't see America, America doesn't exist, right? And if I can't see Sydney, Australia, or Perth is very far away. If I can't see Perth, I've never been to Perth, so therefore it doesn't exist. Only if I am there, everything exists around me. That's that philosophy. If I must be there in the middle, and then everything will exist. And if I'm not there, then forget it. So it's a very self-centered worldview. Very self-centered. So that may prevent you. Any other ideas about what prevents us from seeing Krishna? Okay. Yes? What is that?
Everything
is for me. For me. Yes?
Lack of desire.
Lack of desire, yeah. So these are the things. So tomorrow, if you can't see Krishna in your life, you can have this question. Why can't I see Krishna in my life? What is stopping me? What is holding me back? So these are the first two verses of Queen Kunti's prayers and our first two homeworks questions. I mean, only two. These are our two questions. I'd like to read something for you about one. His name is Karnamriti. He's my godbrother. And he tells us how to see Krishna in your day. And I got this from Facebook, in case you want to know where my reference. But he writes very wonderful essays on Facebook, actually. Very good association. So he lives out in the country. He says, I do my best to pause before any activity and offer it to Krishna. It only takes a second, yet it makes a huge difference in my life. Whether getting up from or going to bed, taking a shower, waking the deities, beginning to chant my rounds, going to work, or going on a shopping expedition, I want to offer the activity or the day to my gurus and Krishna. So that is his practice. You can try it. It's something you can try tomorrow also. Just, do you ever offer your shower to Krishna? I don't think so. So, I mean, every little thing you do, and Vishnu Jamaharaj was like that too. Before he would even brush his teeth, he would ask himself the question, okay, is this the instruction of Srila Prabhupada? Yes, he said, brush your teeth. Okay, brush my teeth. And before he would eat, he would say, okay, how to eat? Prabhupada used to say, okay, half full with food, one quarter water, and one quarter air. So he would do that. So it's something that devotees do. You can try. And then he said, I went to the local medical clinic, and yesterday I went food shopping. Before I left, I prayed. The environments I encountered, the people I met or saw, and the situations I found myself in would teach me important lessons for my spiritual and human growth. I prayed to be mindful and present in the moment, not just thinking about finishing my task. I didn't want my shopping or waiting at the clinic to be my focus. I wanted to be present or aware enough to notice and observe while keeping an internal, prayerful mood. So many of you will be going out in the material world tomorrow, so try to somehow see Krishna, keep a prayerful mood, and be mindful of your interaction. So verse 20. Tata paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam bhaktiya kavithanartham katam bhashya mahistriya. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? So Kunti is comparing herself and her qualification to the great mystic Sangani. She said, you are the Supreme Person. You are coming for them, surely, to save them. You come for their upliftment. Yes or no? She actually, Prabhupada said, Krishna is coming for devotees like Kunti, not for the Gyanis, not for the mystics. He's coming for the great devotees. And he said Kunti is an authority. She's not just a woman, ordinary woman. Because Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he has gone to take the dust of her feet before he goes on his trip. And this is the Vedic practice. You go to your authorities, you go to your elders, you go to your superiors. Before you do anything, before you take on a service, before you go on a journey, you go and take their blessings. And so to get her blessings, he went to take the dust of her feet. Is she going to give her blessings to go on his trip? No. Because she wants him to stay. That's the whole purpose of her prayers. Unfortunately, he's not going to get the blessings to go on his trip. She will try to convince him not to go. And that's, if you actually, you have to, then he has to stay, because it's inauspicious if someone says, don't go. When you're going on a trip, someone says, don't go. And so the great yogis, the sannyasis, go to the forest or to the bottom of the Jamuna, like Sabari Muni, to meditate. Why do they go? To get away from bad association. They don't like to associate with the grihastas. They don't like to associate with anybody. So they just do their own yoga practice by themselves. And they do great austerities just to get a glimpse of the toes of the lotus feet of Krishna. But Kunti had Krishna coming right into her house every day. And just like one of her family members, he would ask for food. He would just lay there. He would eat with Arjuna. He would joke around. He was just like one of her family. So these sannyasis and yogis, they used to come and visit Kunti so they could see Krishna. That was the only way that their austerities were useless. Actually, Kunti, she was in a much higher position than these great yogis and mystics. And Sukadeva said to Parikshit that, you know, the house of the Pandavas was so wonderful that Krishna, he used to enter that house as if it were his own. It's a holy dham, the house of the Pandavas. So why was it a holy dham? Because everything was for Krishna's pleasure. So you can also make your house a holy dham. Just make it for Krishna's pleasure. And then Krishna will come there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was singing one song and he said, one day I saw my house change into Goloka. I was doing my puja. And actually that was the day when one of his children died. And he was doing his puja. And still, at the same time, he saw his house change into Goloka, even though his child had died on that day. And he got the vision of Goloka. So Narada Muni addresses King Yudhisthira that, my dear king, you Pandava brothers are the only fortunate people. Krishna is your friend, he's your guru, he's your messenger, he's your driver, he's everything. So although Krishna did come to benefit the sages, we see in Krishna book, there's some places where the sages got to meet Krishna. King Yudhisthira's Rajasuya sacrifice. Not much, though. Mostly, it's all about the Vrijavasis, and it's about the Dwarkavasis. That's what Krishna book is about. Who did Krishna associate with? Not so much with the sages. Narada Muni came to visit. He didn't stay with the sages. Narada Muni didn't stay with Krishna. He came to visit his house and see how Krishna was doing. The sages couldn't stay away. They had to always come. Even the demigods couldn't stay away. They wanted to come and visit. Raj, Brahma came, but he couldn't stay there. He had to go back to his own place. So these are the people that Krishna was living with. The Pandavas, Queen Kunti, the Vrijavasis. He came for them, actually. And the sages also got the benefit of Krishna's association. So Kunti, she's expressing her humility that, I'm a woman, how can I understand you? I don't have intelligence, less intelligent. You are meant for the Paramahansas. But Prabhupada in the purport says that the Lord is so kind, he doesn't show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. So I got a letter from Srila Prabhupada. First, I got two letters. One was initiation letter. Two main letters. One was initiation, where he gave me six instructions. And the second letter, he told me how to do those six instructions. And in that letter, he said three qualities. The first one was enthusiasm. You should be very, when you do your service, you should be very enthusiastic. And the second quality was sincerity. Be very truthful, pure, sincerity of purpose. And the third one is cooperation with all the other devotees. Very important quality to have. I mean, two are personal and the rest is Okay, you may have such good qualities, but you also have to cooperate with the other devotees. So this is what Prabhupada told me in my initiation, that was after my initiation letter. Just out of the blue, I didn't write to him or anything, he just wrote me a letter, just like that. So I was very happy. So Prabhupada said that simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. So Kunti is showing us the importance of humility. What is the necessity of humility in spiritual life? Why should we be humble? What is the necessity? Is it a necessity? Yes. And what is the necessity? Why should we have this quality of humility? Raise your hand. Yes? Yes. Symptom. Very good. Symptom of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge, chapter 13, Bhagavad Gita, and it's the fruit of knowledge. Yes. Yes?
It shows the gratitude as well.
Shows gratitude. Yes. Humility shows gratitude. Yes. Yes. Shows your need. Okay, what else? Yes. Shows your dependence on Krishna. Yes. Yes. It brings acceptance. And not only that, humility is the measure, how you measure how much you love God. Did you know that? It's the measure. How humble you are is how much you love Krishna. And that's the standard of measurement for prema is dānya, or humility. Now, Burijan said a very wonderful thing. He said that our bhakti is like a tree. And the roots of the tree are humility. So then he said, when the roots of humility grow deeper, the tree of bhakti grows taller. So this is also very important. In the Shikshasika prayers, the third prayer, Chanadapi Sunichena, Torari Vasahishnuna, this is the doorway to the higher levels of love of God. This is nishta, and it leads you to ruchi and asakti and all the higher levels. And Srila Prabhupada also, when he was in India, when he was in practicing in his pharmacy, he had a pharmacy? He had a pharmacy. It's different in different countries. Chemist shop, drugstore. Okay, pharmacy. Then he was, one time, Dr. Kapoor, his godmother came, and he asked him for a tonic. So Prabhupada said, here's a good tonic. You take this. And then Dr. Kapoor said, well, why don't you give me the tonic that you're taking? And Prabhupada said, what tonic is that? And he said, you know, the tonic of Krishna Prema. Mm-hmm. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, I don't have that tonic, but I know the formula for it. Trinadavi sunichena tarariva sahishina. And I will spread it all over the world. So, one also, Mahanidhi Swami says a very nice thing in his book, that if you want to catch Krishna Prema, you cannot catch with your hands. You have to catch with your heart. And if your heart is full of holes, it will just go right through. You won't get it. It'll just go in one ear, out the other. So what does the heart have to be made of? It's these four things. Chanadapi, sunichena, tarari vasihishana. And then you will get. Then you will get Krishna Prema, love of Krishna. So another point of this verse, spiritual intelligence doesn't depend upon the amount of brain we have or the physical body. We can have access to unlimited intelligence. And you know how to do that? I figured it out. You know? You're shaking your head, yes. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, okay. One way, have access to unlimited intelligence. The other way is? Use Prabhupada's intelligence. How are you going to do that? Yes. Yes?
Use
your experience, okay. Yes?
Connect to Krishna.
How do you connect to Krishna? Yeah?
Serving devotees,
yes. Worshipping Pachatapa, yes. Pray for intelligence. Yeah, these are all good ways. I also had another way, it hasn't been mentioned yet. Chant Hare Krishna. Chant Japa. Actually, when you chant Japan, Japa, you connect with unnamed intelligence. That you get so many ideas sometimes when you chant. And that's because you're connecting to the super soul, which is the source of all intelligence. So, yeah, sometimes you even get distracted from chanting because so many ideas come. Yeah. So that's how you can get. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he was under anesthesia, he had a vision of Srila Prabhupada reporting to the previous acharyas. He said, these people on this earth planet have no spiritual qualifications. They cannot follow any rules. Only one qualification they have. They follow me, they surrender to me, and they have faith in me. And that's a fact. We believed in Prabhupada. And whatever he told us, he said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, and we believed him. So we just did. We didn't think if something is impossible or not. We just did it. And it worked. And it worked. So even though we were teenagers and young in our 20s, we spread the movement all over the world, somehow or other. I mean, he came to, where was that last place I was? That was Sydney. And he says, I'm leaving Krishna in the hands of the malachas. And so, Krishna, you please take care of yourself, right? So, I mean, that's how it was. We were just off the street, and Prabhupada picked us up, and he said, and he took the globe, like, up on his desk, and he was spinning it around, you go here, you go here, you go here. And in 1966, he said to the hippies that were in front of him, you know, not even following the four regulative principles, and he said, so now we need thousands of spiritual masters to spread this movement all over the world. And so, yes, that was Srila Prabhupada. So we did the impossible for him. Yeah, I can just tell you one thing in my life that happened. I probably told it last year, but I'll tell it again. I was in Calcutta, I was pujari, and Prabhupada came, and Pradyumna, his Sanskrit scholar, he knew me, I knew how to type. He said to me, would you like to go with Srila Prabhupada to Mayapur? I said, yes, I want to go. He says, okay, just learn how to read Bengali. Prabhupada's doing Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're leaving tomorrow. So I said, no problem. I learned to read. He gave me a Bengali book. I learned how to, you have to transliterate, you know, from Bengali to English letters. So I was off with Prabhupada the next morning because we thought, you know, no problem. If Prabhupada wants it, we can do it. What's the problem? And I wanted to go with, you always want to be with Prabhupada. So then I went, I was in Mayapur, and it was in the Lotus Building, which was half built at that time. My room had no door, but the next room had a door, but no floor. So we had to walk the plank to get out of our room to the door. And the door had no handle, so you couldn't really shut it. And the windows were not there. They were just holes in the wall. So one day I was typing in one room. Prabhupada was walking up and down the veranda, and he looked in my window. And he saw me with this huge Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I had the earphones. So I would listen to Prabhupada say the Bengali, I'll read the Bengali, and I'll type in English letters. So he looked at me and he said, you know Bengali? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. That's why I make him happy, you know. Come to my room. So, and so then, I go to his room, and he says, so I want you to learn how to type in Bengali. I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. So then this Bengali brahmachari is teaching me how to type. I said to the brahmachari, I said, you learn just where your fingers can just go on the keys, and you look over here, and you don't have to look at the keys, and you can just type like this. He said, oh. Now I understand what Prabhupada told me. He said, you teach her, and you learn from her. So my teaching career started way back in 1973. When I was teaching him how to touch type in Bengali. But then I never got to do all those books. He said, we will do many books together if you learn to type in Bengali. But then 30 years later, the words came true from Prabhupada's mouth, and I started writing books. I wrote 4 books already now, and another one's coming in May. Now maybe 2 books a year, because we're doing a picture for every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So first canto is out, second canto is ready, third canto's in production. So here we go. Many books together. Yes, okay, so verse 21. We will hear the holy names of Krishna.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandakopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, pleasure of Devaki, boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd man of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. These glorifying holy names of Krishna. Raise your hand and tell me what is your favorite name of Krishna. Think for a minute. And there's no right answer, yeah.
Radha Krishna.
Radha Krishna, okay. Anybody else have another name? Shyamasundar. Okay.
Govinda.
Govinda. Yeah, that's mine also. I was Radha Govinda Pujari in Calcutta. Radha Manamohan. Okay. Radha? Which one? Balaba?
Manamohan.
Okay. So you're from where? Brisbane? Is that Brisbane? Yes. Radha Balaba. Yes.
Gopal.
Okay. Gopal. Govinda, yes. Govinda. How many votes for Govinda? Yes, that's a very popular name. My son is for Govinda. My first deity is for Govinda. My second deity is for Govinda. My Giriraj is Govinda. Yes. Radha Madhava, okay, good. Damodar, yes? Gopinath. Giridhari, yes. Giridhari, Radha Giridhari. Kanaya, that's very Indian. Kanaya, and it's also bridge bus. Kana, Nimai, okay. Now we're spreading out. Yes, why not? Why? What?
Madhusudan.
Okay. So now we'll one more in the back. Yeah. Purushottama. Okay, Jagannath Purushottama. So in the beginning of her prayers, Kunti said that I offer my obeisances to the person. So now she's telling us, who is that person? It's Krishna. But Prabhupada said, why did she say so many names? Why not just Krishna? Because somebody might be confused because there's so many Krishnas. So therefore, Vasudev, son of Vasudev. There might be so many sons of Vasudev. Okay, Devaki and Vasudev. Devaki and Vasudev. And there might be so many sons of Vasudev and Devaki, so Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, the cowherd boy of Nanda. Just like when I was in Vrindavan in 1994, I'm Narayani. There were three Narayanis, and they all had sons Govinda. All three. And one of them was the same age as my son. They were together in the same class in Gurukul. So it can happen, you know, it can happen that the same person has the same sign, the same name, especially in ISKCON. So that happened. I thought I was the only Narayani until that day. And one was Tamal Krishnamurti's disciple, and another one I don't know.
Spanish.
Yeah, I don't know who her spiritual master is. Yeah. So yeah, there was a Spanish one, and then there was Tamal Krishna from Philippines, and then there was myself. And we all had Govindas. So, yes, it's Krishna, Nanda Kumaraya, and also Govinda. So Govinda means he's the pleasure of the senses and the pleasure of the cows. So Srila Prabhupada explains that Govinda means that if you associate with him, he's always happy, so you'll be happy too. So therefore we should associate with Govinda, Krishna. In fact, when I was the pujari in Calcutta, Radha Govinda, we didn't have any mantras. Now I think you have so many mantras for worshipping the deity. We don't know any of those mantras. And we only sang one thing when we were dressing, and from the beginning of the time we were taking off their clothes, giving them bath, and dressing them, we just sang Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I mean, the whole prayer, all the prayers, starting with Chintamani and going to the end. That's what we would sing every day. And it's Govinda, so it was nice. I think that they did that in other temples too. I'm not sure. But that's what we did. That's all we knew, is the Govindam prayers. And they do it for Abhishekhs, I think, when they do Abhishekhs. But we did it every day. And so that was our mantra, Govindam Adipurusham. So Srila Prabhupada says that if you're convinced of this one fact, that Govindam is Adipurusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your life will be perfect. Radhanath Swami tells a story when he first met the devotees. He was in this pandal in the back of 20,000 people, and he felt somebody tugging on his chadar, and he looked down and he saw Saraswati, and she said to him, "Guess what?" He said, "What?" And she said, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So that was her preaching, to preach to everyone like that. And Prabhupada said, that's all you have to know. Now, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about what the acharyas say about these names. When Kunti was saying Krishna, she was thinking he's the source of all incarnations. When she was saying Vasudeva, she was thinking of Krishna in relationship to her brother, Vasudeva. So Kunti's brother is Vasudeva, father of Krishna. That's how she's the Yanti. And Devaki Nandana, because he was in the womb of her sister-in-law. And then Nandagopa Kumaraya was the Kumara pastimes, because she's also in the Vatsalya Ras, in the motherly Ras, just like Devaki and Vasudeva and Nanda. She's all in this Rasa with Krishna. And Govinda actually is the beginning of Kaisara age. You know, when he got the name Govinda, was after he lifted Govardhan Hill and Indra crowned him king, and king of the cows. And so he became Govinda. So now we'll go to the last verse, verse 22. Namapam Kachanapaya Namapam Kachamaline Namapam Kachanetraya Namaste Pankajankaya. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So we heard the glories of Krishna's name, and now we're hearing his form from Kunti Devi. Prabhupada explains that we should start seeing the Lord from his lotus feet. She started at his navel because she was his empty. So he would be embarrassed if she started with his feet. So she started there and ended up at his feet. So today we are going to meditate on the form of Krishna. So I want you to think about Krishna's lotus feet. And I want you to tell me, what can you say about Krishna's lotus feet? What can you say? Raise your hand. And we will hear. Yes? Tulsi, you see Tulsi, yes?
Soft.
Yes. If you take a tamal leaf, which is very soft, a fresh one, and press it, it will make a mark on Krishna's feet. Yes.
He has a bent form.
Yeah, right. His one foot is going towards Radharani. Someone asked me the other day, why is that foot that way? And why is it not the other way? Why the other foot is... Well, it must be because he's pointing to Radharani, showing her the marks on his feet. Any other things you can say about Krishna's lotus feet? Yes.
Ornaments.
Okay. Ankle bells, tulsi, flower ornaments. In Vrindavan, he gets flowers every day. Yeah.
Reddish on the bottom.
Okay. Reddish on the bottom. Good. What else? Thunderbolt is there to smash the mountain of sin in the heart of the meditating devotee. Yeah, there's a thunderbolt. There's also a lotus flower too. So for the bees of your mind to go. What else can you tell me about Krishna's lotus feet? They're unbelievably beautiful. Yes, you have seen. We have seen. You just go in the temple and you can see his beautiful feet. Anything else?
Interesting, Vrindavan Gita talks about it.
Apantastiko tishatavatsura sampadam yo vayortapi manaso munipungavanam sopyastiya prasinya vichintitatve. Yes, the gyanis, they are meditating for millions of years and they're traveling at the speed of the mind and still they cannot see or touch the lotus feet of Krishna. Yes, I mean, you try traveling at the speed of the mind for millions of years and you still can't get out of this material world because you need devotion. Mother Yashoda could catch Krishna, but they could not. Kaliyavana could not catch Krishna. Yes. They're standing in the lotus. And where is that lotus? That in the heart of the devotees. He's standing in the lotus of the devotee's heart. Yes. When you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then it cleans out all the dust and then you can see Krishna in the heart. Yes? They're like boats that take you across the ocean of material existence. Yes. Such a wonderful feat. You never saw. Okay, so next is his navel. What can you say about Krishna's navel? Or any of his incarnations? Usually we think about somebody special. Yes? Yeah, that's where the lotus flower comes. Yes? Same thing. Lord Brahma is born from the navel of his, on the top of a lotus flower. There's a little lake in his navel, and that's how the lotus flower can come out. Because there's a navel lake. Did you know that? In Bhagavatam it says he has a navel lake. His navel's big. I mean, you know. It's quite big. The whole universe came out from his navel, so imagine. Yeah, from his pores also. Yeah, that is from Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, the universes are coming from his pores. From Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the universe is coming from his navel. One universe. Yes, one universe. Okay. Yes?
It's like his voice, his navel is deep.
His navel is deep. So deep. Yes. So deep. Yes? Anyway. He's the source of everything. Yes. That's why his navel is so deep. Everything's coming out from his navel, actually. It's a fact in this world, anyway. Everything's coming out. All right, next is his lotus mala. So he has a mala of lotus flowers. Anybody can say anything about that? I'll tell you what Prabhupada says. He said each one of those lotuses is a universe. So he doesn't just have one lotus. He has a garland of universes, a garland of lotuses. So that's how amazing Krishna is. You just try wearing a garland of universes. It's not going to work. Yeah. Now we'll go to his eyes. We can say more about his eyes. Think about Krishna's lotus eyes. Of course, they're like lotus. What can we say about Krishna's eyes? Yes? Reddish, yes. Prema, yes.
They move like bees.
Okay, yes? Yes, you have something? Krishna's eyes? Lotus petal eyes, like your eyes. Okay, very good, thank you. Anuda, Prabhu? They see everything, yes. Maya tyakshena prakriti, everything moving and non moving. Yes? In the back?
Shark shape.
Shark shape, that's earrings. Yeah, not eyes. Eyes are lotus shaped, I mean, yeah. Yes? Huh? Trustworthy. Yes. How you can tell somebody's trustworthy is you look them in the eyes. So if you look Krishna in the eyes, you'll find him very trustworthy. Okay? Yes? Chanchal, yes. He also said like bees. Yes? He can steal the heart with his eyes. Yes. And he's famous for that. And we're going to sing a prayer on Saturday to the Chor. Charastakam. We're going to sing on Saturday. How Krishna is the greatest thief. How he steals everything. That we'll sing on Saturday morning. Okay, anything else about his eyes? Yes. They're always looking at Radharani, yes, yes. That's who he wants to see the most. Yes. Okay, so you have two homework questions. One is to see Krishna in your life tomorrow, before tomorrow night's class, and report back. We're going to see Krishna in a different way than we usually see. We want to see him everywhere. We got some ideas to see him in nature, to see him in other people, to see him, I forgot what the third idea was, but somebody was giving idea. Oh, in water, the taste of water. And so try to see Krishna tomorrow and then report back what you saw. How Krishna came in your life tomorrow. It's just for one day we're going to concentrate on this aspect of Krishna. Just how he comes. Okay, and if you can't see Krishna in your life tomorrow, then see how he why doesn't he come? What's preventing you from seeing him in your life tomorrow? Okay? Any questions at this point? Yes?
You mentioned about sincerity of acceptance of Lord's authority.
Right.
Greater than what the other person?
Oh, that was a purport for that verse. Greater than showy, insincere religious fervor. You know, some people are saying, oh, yes, I'm the greatest devotee. Or, you know, if you don't follow my path, then you go to hell. You know, and I'm, you know, they show like I'm such a great devotee. But the humble devotee, that's the one that Krishna sees. There's a verse like that in the first canto, 11th chapter, that the Lord is always looking to the devotees who are at his lotus feet. Remember that story about Duryodhana and Arjuna coming to see Krishna at the same time, and Arjuna stood at his feet, so Krishna saw him first. And Duryodhana was at his head. They both came to ask Krishna to help them in the battle of Kurukshetra. So Arjuna got the first choice, and that was Krishna. And Duryodhana got the second, which is what he wanted, was the armies. But still, he saw Arjuna first, because Arjuna was at his head. So the service attitude is going to help us go into Goloka Vrindavan. I used to have a poster of a basketball, and the basketball was called False Ego, and it was going into the hoop, but the hoop was like this, and the ball was like this. Wouldn't go in. So if our false ego is too big, we won't get into Goloka. Because the service attitude is what attracts Krishna. The humility, the service attitude will attract Krishna to you. Okay, any other question? Yeah.
Actually, in the verse 19, I didn't have a clear understanding between the two. I felt the point one and two were the same. I mean, I couldn't see the difference.
One and three. Mutadrisha.
Covered by Maya.
Yeah.
And we have vision of a fool.
Yeah. What's the difference?
I couldn't understand.
Yeah, okay. So one is that there is a covering in front of our eyes. Like the sun is up here, and there's some clouds, and then we are down here. And the mudadrisha, I mean, it can be the same. In one sense, it's the same. It can be, the clouds can be the vision of the mudha. But in one sense, it's a difference, because it's very specific. I mean, the curtain of Maya means practically everything. But mudha is very specific. It's like our stubbornness. Not to see. We don't want to see. Mudadrisha means the fool, the ass, is very stubborn. And he doesn't want. He really, it's more like an attitude of refusing to see. Whereas the curtain is, you can't help it. It's just there. And it's really not your fault, except that you chose to come here. But the mudadrisha is like a very adamant stand. I will not see. I am seeing how I see. It's more like you refuse to, you know, you go, the sun is shining and you go in the closet. How come I can't see the sun? How come the sun's not coming in my closet? I've heard people say, why doesn't the sun, if the sun is all powerful, why doesn't he come in my closet? You know, so God is all powerful, why doesn't he just force me to see? Why doesn't he just come in my closet? Why should he? Because he's coming, he is attracted by love, not out of, he doesn't go show himself to his enemies. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. He's not, He's not muta yam navijanati. He's not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent mutas. And muta is the ass. It really has a very narrow concept of life. And he thinks that's all, and he doesn't want to see anything else. He doesn't want to understand. He doesn't want to try. He doesn't want to see. A curtain covers everyone. That is just something we can't. But the muta is a very something you can control. Some personal worldview. And that's being very unopen, being unreceptive. Okay, anything else? Question? Yes?
You were mentioning about
the Ahokshaja. Yeah, there's actually two meanings.
Akshaja means eyes and Ado means
to put down. Put down. To put down.
In relationship to that verse, how do we explain when we are not able to see Krishna because of these three things to explain?
Yeah, when we try to see with our senses. So then our senses will be put down by Krishna. That's not the way to see Krishna. Not by our senses. So akshaja means our eyes or our sensory perception. That is not the way, and that will be put down. Just like the example was at nighttime it's dark and you say, okay, I want to see the sunrise. You cannot see unless the sun comes itself, reveals himself to you. And there's another one. Akshaja means, in the Sanskrit language, from A to Ksha, all the way from the whole alphabet. He is beyond all of the alphabet. He is beyond all the letters of the alphabet to be described or understood. There's two meanings of Ahokshaja. Okay, any other question or comment? Okay, so we'll stop here today and we'll meet you tomorrow, 7 o'clock. And we'll study some more verses tomorrow. And please try to see Krishna. We're not going to forget what you heard tonight. You're going to try and see Krishna tomorrow like Kunti did. Or some way or other, try to see Krishna in your life. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.